Hey, it's a special time of the year, so listen up. Okay, so we as a church, every single year, have a word for the year that directs everything. It directs like all the sermons. It directs what we focus on. And so this is the time for me to tell you what our word for the year is. And I want to talk to you about that. So here's the word for the year. It's the word disciple. So we're going to use that word to learn all about how to be a disciple, how to make disciples, what it means to follow Jesus. So I want to talk to you about this, though, in a unique way. So I'm in a parking lot right now of a place that's become pretty special to me. I want to talk to you about being a disciple at my gym. Okay, so come join me. I'm going to take you inside and you're going to get to see the place. I want you to meet the owner, Johnny, and I want you to hear his heart about helping people become healthier. But then I want to teach you what Jesus has to say about what it means to really, really follow him. All right, so let's go.
Look at me now.
So I am a member of this gym, obviously, and I've sat at this table before, not knowing anything I was getting into. I'll never forget how frustrating it was, because I'm like in my head going, can I do this? I see in your face, yes, you can do this, but go on, do I believe you? So you gave me the whole spiel about what your gym's about. So here, let's start this. If we're in an elevator, you know, the elevator pitch, yeah, and you're talking to me, we don't know each other, what's the gym about? Like, what are you doing here?
Really, when we started it, I mean, the base of it is personal training, right? So, yeah. But like, not your everyday person can afford to hire a personal trainer,
yep,
for long enough to get a result.
Yep.
So we came up with this concept of how can we give people everything they need to succeed, but long enough to where they can do it, create a sustainable lifestyle. And then it was just this, it started as just nutrition coaching, and it evolved into strength training. And then I think we had started with 20 some people, but really it's like people don't know how to go to the gym. They don't know nutrition. To us, it's second nature. Like macros, all this stuff, right? How do I do that? It's very simple to us, but to be able to introduce the everyday person to the world of, I don't want to say bodybuilding, because that word kind of scares people sometimes. Like, oh, I don't want to be a bodybuilder. That's not what we mean. Okay. And then the everyday person doesn't have time to work out 6 days a week, right? So it was just a lifestyle. This is what we did. We still do. Every coach, the owners, everyone has to do the exact same program.
Hmm.
We all have coaches. We coach each other. We only get to work out 3 days a week. We don't work outside of the gym or on off days. So it was really just a lifestyle. How can we pass this along to other people?
So that's what's been different than from all my other experiences, because I think there's great gyms all over.
Of course.
Right?
Yes.
But your process, from my experience, has been unique, because I've joined a gym before. I've joined a gym and shown up for like the first week,
right,
and then stopped showing up. Most of the time I joined a gym was because the personal trainer option was too expensive. And so I was like, well, I can figure this out. There's the internet, there's YouTube, there's all this.
It's all out there.
And so, but I would show up with myself, maybe a buddy, a buddy, but typically would phase out. And I would find myself maybe not showing up as often, eventually not showing up. And then the nutrition, it's not like I'm an idiot. I know that there's certain foods that aren't good for you and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But your approach, the coaching, almost even the community part of it is unique. Tell me about, like, when you think community and you think gym, has that been super intentional?
And it's just, I guess, I mean, you can look at it a few ways. Forcing a result is a way to build a really good community, in the sense that you're surrounded by people that are doing what you want. If people were just floating around and we just let people float around and do their own thing, it'd be like any other gym.
Yep.
But with the coach, and we're always making sure you're progressing, it's not boot camp. We're not breathing down your neck all day. But you're surrounded by all these people. And even over 12 weeks, you've seen people in your own class evolving.
Yep.
You know? So I think that becomes the community. You're all doing it together. But, you know, it's not fun unless you're actually getting the result. And then so many people come here, it's not even about the physical. It's their, like, this is my time. This is my happy place. I come with my people. They work out. Do you ever leave here in a worse mood? No, you never do. I've never had someone say, hey, I went to work out and I feel worse for doing so.
Yep.
So the community is just that. And it's also the habits of, hey, we all get here no matter what. You know, we're always busy. We have kids. We have schedules. But I work out 3 days a week. Yeah. I show up for Evolve. I don't have to think about what I'm doing. Walk in, walk out. So the community itself is just people that I've chosen to evolve, pun intended.
What stops people that you've seen from doing what they need to do? I'm not saying get like the ultimate results, but what have you seen? What's stopping them?
Life, not putting themselves first.
Okay.
If you can't give yourself 3 hours a week to your health, it's going to be very hard to ever reach your goal. And it's just, it's not that the coach is here, like it's a no-fail system. If you just give it 80%, no one's 100%. If you're 100%, it won't last long.
Okay.
You will eventually hit a wall and then you're gone. And we're like, where'd they go? They were striving for perfection. You know, same thing you see.
Yep.
In church, no one's perfect. And when you're pretending to be, eventually it's going to get exposed. And it's just the people that, hey, you know, I wasn't perfect on nutrition, but I sent it to the coach. And I'm still here, you know, weeks later, just keep going. It's all about sustainability and consistency.
See, I experienced this because my son has birthday. And I'm like, I'm sitting staring at this cake, man. My wife made it.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, can I eat it? And so I was like, you know what? It's my son's birthday. Yeah. I'm going to eat the cake.
Yep.
So I ate one piece. I put it into the app. And I even let my trainer know. I was like, hey. I kind of sheepishly like, hey, man. So I had some cake. And kind of expecting going, hey, you'll do better. No, it was like, great. Awesome.
Yeah. It's your son's birthday.
And it was one of those, like, I was used to more of a legalistic approach to getting healthy, where it was, I'm not demeaning P90X, but it was that P90X approach, like, it is hardcore, at the grind, no fun. You know it's no fun, so you deal with the no fun. Your approach to community, but also not being legalistic, has been fascinating.
Because it's real life, you know? It's like, those things on the front end, the marketing looks great. It gets you all motivated. Motivation always dies. Hmm. It's what can you sustain long term? So if someone needs to be 50-50 to sustain it long term, I'd prefer that because then they'll do it forever.
Hmm.
But if someone comes in 80-20, you just constantly see them falling off. Well, that's not going to work. You know, it's all these, you know, crazy diets out there and such. They last very short term. That's why I have people say, I did that.
Oh, yeah.
Not I do that. Mm-hmm. I did that. And then they're back to where they were before. You always resort back to where you were unless you create new habits and a lifestyle.
I think most of us have done that nutritionally, health, and spiritually as well, where you have these maybe epic moments. You're like, yeah, I gave it all my all. But you go in such a way that it becomes a burden rather than, well, in our terms, a blessing. Like where it's like, you know, this is actually bringing life into my life. Okay. So, when someone is thinking about, hey, I want to be healthy, what would you say? You've got to have these pieces. What needs to be in their life, whether it's your gym or not?
Yeah.
What would they have to have?
Yep. And I will be the first one to say there's many great gyms, and a lot of them can help you. What we have found works is strength training. The world out there from the, and nothing wrong with the Pelotons of the world and all these things, but cardio is not the same thing, you know, and people need strength training. They also need nutrition, which I would put number one above everything else. Now, from not just, because people always come and say, I eat healthy, but you're also eating 1,000 calories. That's not enough. So just nutrition all around.
Okay.
And then accountability. Now, that's going to come from a few things. One, you're paying something for it, right? So, okay, but as long as you're getting your ROI, cool. The community. I don't think, even if I did Evolve, but you had to take it to another gym and do the workouts, it's not the same deal. I don't have my people. I don't have my community, the people around me. And then the coach.
Yeah.
Why do you have business coaches? Why do you have coaches in everything you do? I'm sure you have mentors and coaches.
Yep.
I believe in coaching fully. Even as the person that owns the place, I still get coached. I have a coach. All the coaches have coaches, and they do the same program. So those three pieces, if you want to break it down simply, I don't like the word fitness because a lot can go into that.
Okay, sure.
That's what it used to be. That's why we changed our name to strength and nutrition coaching, not fitness and nutrition. Because strength training is, so strength, nutrition, and accountability in those three aspects.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see so much correlation in discipleship and learning to follow God. And I think a lot of times with God, we take one approach. It's got to be this one thing that someone else was doing that worked for them.
Right.
And it doesn't fit. And man, I love what you're doing. I think it's making a huge difference in my life and other people's lives. Thanks for bringing to our area a gym that's like community driven, but highly, highly effective. don't want to just talk to you about like working out, but I do think January and Jesus have a lot in common. So in January, what most people know, you can read your own articles about this, is that gyms all of a sudden get new members all over the place, people signing up, calling in, can I be a part of it? Can I? And they're joining. January is the month everyone starts, I'm going to eat healthier. They could be resolutions, right? Whatever you want to call them, life goals, year goals. January is full of people going, I need to do better, so I'm going to do better. Well, the same thing plays out with Jesus. And I'm telling you, this is so correlated that people will decide it's a new year. I want to be stronger spiritually. I want to walk with God in a more deep way, in a stronger way. The same thing plays out. And I wonder if this year could have some of the similar temptations where you say, I'm going to start the year all about God, but I don't want you to get to later on in the year and going, is that all that Jesus wanted was just this moment? So Jesus actually calls us into something more than just a month kind of relationship with him. If you look at something very profound that Jesus said, it shows you, it reveals what Jesus actually wants to do with you this year and even further. I've got to take you to the book of Matthew. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. What often gets missed about Jesus is what he just said is, and he tells his disciples this, go and make disciples. He does not say, go and make fans. And I think that's a distinction that you and I need to process together. You may want God to be a part of your life, okay? I want God to be a part of your life. But it's got to go further than you just joining a crowd that thinks Jesus is popular. So Jesus had crowds, if you don't know this, you can read the Bible, it says all over the place. Jesus had crowds following him all over the place. He fed, one story talks about how he fed 5,000 people, but it was far more than that. Probably 15,000 plus people got fed that day. That tells you an idea of the crowds that were around Jesus. When he would walk around and do miracles, people were gathering all over the place. There were crowds upon crowds around Jesus. When he did his Sermon on the Mount, it was not to a group of 10 people. It was to a massive crowd. What the lesson is are you more about Jesus Christ? If you don't know what the word Christ means, it's not his last name. It means anointed one, the Messiah. Are you more about Christ or are you just a part of the crowd? This is the difference maker. Like, are you going to be the group of people that signs up for the gym in January, but then really by March time, you're not even a part of that and you just have this regret? To be a follower of Jesus, it's got to move closer. You got to get not just in a crowd who thinks he's great, who thinks he's just real. You've got to move in a little bit further than just being in the crowd. I haven't looked lately, but I remember looking one time at the Evolve Instagram, the gym that we're at, and they had nearly, it's 9 or 10,000 followers. Guess what? I can tell you from being in person, they don't have 9 to 10,000 people in the gym, right? Obvious, right? If you look at your own Facebook or Instagram, whatever social media you use, most of us have a larger number of people following or friending us than actual distinct thriving friendships and relationships. I know that's true for me. It's even true for our church, right? I think it's a sign for you and I to say, I want to move closer in than just liking Jesus. I want to move into a relationship with him that makes me a disciple of his, a follower of his in such a way I am learning and growing and depending on him. Here's what I want to invite you into this year. Not just being a fan of Jesus, but choosing, and this is a different level, to become a disciple of Jesus.
know if you're actually like a follower of Jesus and not just, let's use the term fan, right? How do you know that you're not just in the crowd going, you know, yay God, I sure hope I'm really following him. Well, maybe a better way to put this, like, what are Jesus's terms for following him? Did Jesus ever say how to be a disciple of his? Well, you know, by me asking the question, I assure you he did. Let me take you back into the Bible and let me read you something that he directly said. Matthew 16, 24 through 27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and don't miss this part, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Don't miss what Jesus just said. He literally just said, and I know you may not like this, but I'm not here just to be buddy-buddy with you. He just said that what you and I do matters to him. I think you know that in your soul, that it's not just being in the crowd, because in the crowd, we don't have to really do much. We just follow. We have opinions. We have thoughts. We have random emotions. Jesus just invited us into how to be a disciple, and he gave us three layers to it. The first layer is about desire. His first term is you and I deal with desire. Let me reread this to you. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever wants to be my disciple. It sounds basic, like, well, I mean, of course I want to be, but well, do you really want to be? Do you understand how powerful desire is? Desire is likely what got you into a situation that you now regret. Desire is also what probably got you into a situation that you're grateful for. Desire is this powerful emotion that we have, but it's revealing. When Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple, he's saying, I am not treating you like robots. He's saying that I'm not gonna force you. Come on, think about a gym. No gym forces people, or I don't think you can legally do this, you can't be forced to become a member of a gym. They don't go to your house, grab you, abduct you, bring you into the gym, and make you do exercises because they can't even do that. Jesus is the same. Jesus wants a relationship with you, and you got to understand it starts with an invitation all about desire. If you want to be, if you want to follow Jesus, understand it starts with you get a choice in it. Desire is interesting because desire is not foolproof. It can mess with us. If you don't know the rule, it got made popular with Navy SEALs. David Groggins actually put it into a book, talked about what they discovered. Did you know that most human beings by themselves, independently of anyone else, can only get about 40% out of themselves? Let me read this to you. I thought this was really good. When your mind tells you that you're exhausted, fried, and totally tapped out, you're really only 40% done. It says, when your mind tells you that you're exhausted, fried, and totally tapped out, you're really only 40% done, you still have 60% in your tank. You still have 60% in your tank. That tells you how powerful, yet how insufficient desire by itself is. Step one to being a disciple of Jesus, do you want to be? It's a decision that you actually have to come to. I'm not trying to be so simple with you, but it is step one. Do you even want to be a disciple of the Messiah who came, who died and resurrected for you? Do you have the desire to follow him? Jesus' terms for discipleship, to be a follower of Jesus, not just a fan. Remember, it's not just desire. I mean, desire can be like, well, that sounds fantastic if all I need to do is want this. No, if you read what Jesus said, he talks about desire, but then he goes into denial. Now, let me read this to you just so it's refreshed in our brains. whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Deny themselves. If you want to know original language, the original word talks about disowning yourself. You see, you feel the weight to this? It moves from desire. Do you want to follow me? Great. I'm glad you want to follow me. This is great. This is what you're made for. Now it's time to disown yourself. It's the same word used, if you've read your Bible and know about Peter denying knowing who Jesus was. It's the same word. If you read about this, when Peter said, I don't even know who Jesus is. I don't even know who Jesus is. I never knew the man three times. This is what Jesus actually calls you to do about you. Think about how profound that is. That to follow the way of Jesus, to be a disciple, means you look at your life and you choose to disown yourself. How opposite is that of culture? I could take you to another place in the Bible, Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, 1, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. If you're going to follow the way of Jesus, if you're going to be a disciple, you might have to lay one of your ambitions, one of your opportunities, even maybe some of your hopes and dreams, lay it down and leave it. You might have to not choose a certain career, not choose a certain sports team. You might have to choose to not do certain things, to deny something that will get in the way of you doing whatever God wants you to do. You have to deny yourself. I can tell you about this gym. So I work out, you know, regularly. The hardest workouts for me are Monday mornings. I'm just gonna tell you Monday mornings. If you wanna know why, it's because I preached a lot the day before. Scientists have actually studied pastors. Let me nerd you out on this. Every sermon takes enough adrenaline that requires your body a full day to recover from it. Every sermon. So when I show up on Monday, my body is craving 3 days off, and it's just time to begin the workout. So there's a third thing that Jesus brings up in this just short passage where he talks about desire, how you got to want to follow him. It's not going to be forced. But then he talks about, brings up denial. You're going to have to actually disown yourself, which is pretty intense, right? He doesn't stop there. It's not just about not doing what you really want to do and liking God. He goes after devotion. So you have desire, denial, but then devotion. Let me read this to you in the same verse I've been reading to you. Matthew 16, 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. It's that follow me part that I think some of us are missing. We desire, sure, you know, you gotta give certain things up based on what he teaches, but then the follow me, it's in essence, walk the path I am walking. Walk how I walk, where I walk, be devoted. If you don't know the lifestyle of a rabbi with a disciple, they would actually sleep all around the rabbi in case the rabbi would wake up in the middle of the night and have something to say that they needed to learn. It was being consumed with that rabbi wherever he went, whatever he did, whatever he said, whatever he ate, however he taught stuff, they were soaking it up. So you walk this out, you're giving up your way of life, doing your way, right? That's what it means to be a disciple. You choose to follow Jesus, you desire, and then you say, I'm not gonna do life my way, I'm gonna do it his, and then you walk with him, you stay with him, you are completely devoted to him, learning what he's taught, but trying to mimic what he has taught. So think about these three words, I think they're powerful, desire. Have you been waiting for God to just interrupt your life, grab you and throw you into the lane of walk with me? Desire is more, how about you choosing to follow him? A second one, denial. Do you step away from Jesus when his way is different than your way? Are you willing to actually live a day, make a relationship decision, do school, do work, do marriage, do all the stuff Jesus's way? Are you willing to deny your way and choose his? And how about devotion? Let me just get real personal. Is there anything in your life, any space in your life, any corner in your life, anything in your life that you're unwilling to give Jesus all eyes on? Would you be ashamed if he got involved in some of the areas of your life? Devotion is quite revealing. Desire, denial, devotion. That's what Jesus said is necessary to actually be his disciple. I want to give you some how-to. Is that okay with you? Like I know sometimes we started off, if you don't remember this, am I going to be a follower of Jesus or just a fan? And we've kind of moved through what are Jesus' terms to actually being a disciple. But I want to walk you through what I call the ABCs of next steps. Like what are literally, and it's quite literally, the ABCs of how to follow Jesus. Think about this. Information plus application equals transformation. And the way Jesus talks about discipleship is he brings up your soul, which says he's got intentions to do something with your soul it's transformative. So it's not just information I've shared with you. We've got to move into the application phase. And so here's the ABCs. A, alone isn't an option. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ doing it well and like actually thriving if you're going to try to do this completely alone. Alone isn't an option. This B part is build trust. Yeah, build trust is, it seems like, well, okay, so how do I just all of a sudden start building trust in God? Very simply, sacrifice and serve. Serve and sacrifice. I would tell you to look at your life. Alone is not an option, right? So now you're going to move into how do I build my trust in him? That's the denial part. Remember when Jesus brought that up? Denying yourself, picking up your cross, living a different life that's not all about you. Where can you serve God's work? How can you give to God's work? And C of the ABCs is consume truth. You need to spend this year not just like getting around the right people, not just looking at where you can sacrifice and serve, but you need to look for truth and get the truth and consume truth. That's found in the Bible. It's found in gathering as a church where we listen to what the Word of God has to say. You need to study and learn and get the right people around. Those are the basic ABCs of being a disciple. Like alone isn't an option, right? You got that. You look at what do I deny? How do I sacrifice and serve? How do I actually build this trust, but then consume the truth that I need to have? Now, here's the tipping point. Can I give you? You're not called to just be a disciple. The ABCs are not just for you. You can flip them and start to make a disciple. So when you're going to make a disciple, guess what? Alone isn't an option. So that makes sense. Building trust, you serve with other people. You even talk to other people about how to give to what God is doing, how to participate in that. And you actually have another person that you're with going, let's do this together. And then, of course, consuming truth, you're helping other people know the truth of what you already know. It's why the ABCs are how to be a disciple and how to make a disciple. This year, you need to pay attention. Not just sign up for the gym, not just sign up for Jesus. This is the application part to be transformed in your heart. The ABCs of being a disciple. Let me finish up with telling you a little bit of a conversation I had with Johnny. Well, it wasn't a little bit. It was frustrating when Johnny and I first talked. In fact, I don't even know if he knows this. So when I meet with Johnny to join the gym and to be a part of this, I need to be healthier. I want to be stronger. Yeah, let's do this. He says, all right, you're signed up. Let's do this. I want you to come work out tomorrow. I'm like, tomorrow? The tomorrow at the time was a Saturday. I'm gonna chill out on Saturday. Who starts anything on a Saturday? No one does. You start on Monday, right? That's when you start stuff. You start things on January 1st and on Mondays. And he's like, no, if you're serious about this, I suggest you start as soon as you can. And that meant the tomorrow. And so I came to work out scared out of my mind going, I don't even know if I want to, I'm re-going through all of my stuff. Like, do I want to be here? Is this a big deal? And I started on a Saturday and I haven't stopped. I have not missed a single workout. I have loved it. I am stronger than I've ever been. I'm healthier than I've ever been. I'm telling you, things are going great. But there's this profound lesson that Johnny helped remind me of, is a lot of times you and I will delay or deflect what we should be doing. We try to plot it out perfectly of when we're going to start and how we're going to start and what's going to go on. Let me urge you, I have just spent some time talking to you about how to follow Jesus, how to be a disciple, not just a fan. And the lesson I can teach you is this. Your next step is to run from zero. Run from zero. And running from zero means you don't look for everything that's convenient, the perfect time, everything to align up. No, you just say, all right, what am I going to do today? In fact, I urge you to do that. Today, could you open up the Bible and start reading the book of Matthew about Jesus? Today, could you call a friend and say, hey, would you start studying the Bible with me? Today, could you invite someone to come to church with you next week? Today, could you actually begin to apply some of this where you're consuming truth? You're going to start giving to God and giving financially to his ministry, what he's doing, serving in ways. Today, I urge you, just like I learned in the gym and I've learned in life following Jesus, it starts today. So my dare for you, my challenge for you, I hope this is a goal for you all year long. You want to be a disciple of Jesus? Run from zero.